Good Thursday morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. Have you ever considered what price you might need to pay if you actually did walk with Jesus every day in the society in which you live? We're going to get really practical today. In almost every country in the world, true Christians are being marginalized, maligned, and even mocked because a God-honoring lifestyle is so contrary to the lustful, selfish, corrupt, deceitful, envious, God-mocking lifestyle the world invites us to live. Now think about that a moment and consider this. In what areas of your life is there a contrast, conflict, or even a contradiction with the politically correct or popular values and lifestyle advocated by your society? The other day, I received a note from one of my friends who's on this Walking with Jesus journey with us. My friend has for years been part of a formal, internationally recognized social group of fellow business people in his city. Recently, that group passed a new statement of inclusion which requires all members to value and celebrate people regardless of sexual orientation and or gender identity. As my friend contemplated this statement, on the surface, of course, it sounds helpful to building a healthy and wholesome society of mutual respect. But considering the alternative lifestyle choices that some people are making, this would require my friend to value and celebrate some lifestyle choices which are clearly contrary to God's design for human life. Gender identity, for instance. God decides our gender while He is creating us in our mother's womb. Isn't that right? Multiple aspects of our body's design and function validate that, and it's clear to everyone. It's basic biology. And it's true in every human being, every race, every skin color, every ethnicity, every generation, everywhere in the world. The current trend allowing and even affirming a male human choosing to refer to himself as a female, dress like a female, even demand that others view him as a female, when God created him a male, or allowing people to use whatever gender-specific bathroom they choose based on their feelings of gender identity at that particular moment, are clearly contrary to logic, common sense, truth, and especially to God's design for the human race. This behavior, my friends, if affirmed by society, will erode the very fabric of any society and create chaos in every aspect of that society. My friend realized this new statement, though sounding very politically correct, would require him to affirm and celebrate some lifestyle choices which he knew are clearly sinful, God-mocking, and contrary to God-honoring living and God's design for humanity. My friend was stuck. He enjoyed this group and their monthly meetings. He had many long-standing friendships with fellow business people of both genders in this group. But this statement now required him to make a choice, since the statement required that he set aside his commitment to God, honor God in all aspects of his life, if he was to continue as part of this group, as they now adopt this new value statement. So what would you have done, my friends, in that situation? Once again, the Bible is so very relevant. Join me, please, in the book of Ezra. Yesterday, we saw in chapter 9 that Ezra was profoundly grieved as he saw more and more evidence in Jerusalem of Jewish men, including leaders, priests, and even Levites, who were living a lifestyle totally contrary to what God had declared for his people. These men were marrying and building their families with women from wicked, idol-worshipping nations around them. As a result, these men were turning away from God and following the idol worship and wicked values of their wives, as we discussed yesterday. And as they had children, of course, those children were growing up in the contradiction of living in Jerusalem, surrounded by Jews and the great temple of worship of Almighty Holy God, while living in a family which disregarded God and worshipped idols. Ezra was appalled. And he took a public stand against it by taking the posture of total repentance and shame as he sat down on the ground in the public square and prayed out loud, confessing and repenting before God on behalf of a sinful people. Today, let's look closely at Ezra 10, and you'll notice three important things, at least. First, a large crowd of Jewish people gathered around Ezra, convicted by the truth of his prayer, and they joined with him in praying and weeping and confessing. Watch this, friends. Behavior is contagious, isn't it? We see it all around us, in athletics, politics, business, education, entertainment. People adjust their behavior to imitate or to be affirmed by the behavior of others, especially behavior that's different from the norm. This problem of intermarrying with non-Jewish women was not one or two men. It had become contagious, and many men in Jerusalem were doing this. The people of Jerusalem had been urged to accept it, even affirm this wicked lifestyle, and soon it was mainstream, even though everyone knew God had forbidden it. I urge you to read Deuteronomy chapter 7. You'll see that God is very, very clear about this in that chapter. Convicted by Ezra's repentant example, people joined with him in his public protest. Look at your life, my friends. What does your lifestyle tell us about your values, your convictions, your moral standards? Are you unquestionably known as a follower of Jesus Christ, seeking to live your life in a God-honoring manner? Or would some people be shocked to hear you say that you are a Christian, trying to walk with Jesus every day? Secondly, notice the repentant people were convinced God was a merciful God with whom forgiveness and hope was still possible. Listen to the record. We have been unfaithful to our God by marrying foreign women, but in spite of this, there is still hope for Israel. Ezra 10, verse 2. None of us is perfect, and we cannot go back and undo or change the mistakes, the rebellion of our past. But the cross of Jesus stands as the symbol of the ultimate price that Jesus paid, which enables holy God to forgive any repentant sinner of anything, because Jesus paid the ransom death price, earning our forgiveness. However, my friends, it's a very dangerous thing to take advantage of Jesus' ultimate price by repeatedly doing the same sinful things over and over and simply expecting that, of course, God will keep forgiving. Listen to this from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to bear our sins so that in him we might receive the righteousness of God. We urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Or how about this powerful statement from 1 John chapter 3? Anyone who sins breaks the laws of God. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that Jesus appeared so that he might take away our sin, and in him there is no sin. No one who lives in relationship with Jesus keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin without remorse or repentance really knows Jesus. No one who is born again of God will continue to sin because God's seed is in him. Finally, notice the people didn't just pray about this, nor did they even publicly weep and confess their guilt. They took action, serious action, just like my friend did. Ezra chapter 10, verse 10. Then Ezra stood up and said, "You have been unfaithful. You have married foreign women, adding to Israel's guilt. Now take action. Honor the Lord, the God of your ancestors, and do his will." This is really important, my Walking with Jesus friends. God calls us to be more than a people of beliefs, more than a people of convictions, more than a people of words. God calls us to be a people of action. The book of James is all about that. Our claim of faith in God is validated by our actions, which are Holy Spirit emboldened and God-honoring. My friend could no longer remain an active member of that organization while remaining true to his God-given, God-honoring convictions. Ezra called the people to do the same, and I'm calling you and me to do the same. Let's look closely at our lives, our values, our attitudes, our moral standards. There should be dramatic contrasts between what God calls us to live and honor and what immoral societies all around the world espouse as mainstream, acceptable, tolerant behavior. If you're truly born again, Holy Spirit-filled and guided, and if God's Word, the Bible, is in fact the authority in your life, it should not be difficult for you to clearly identify many areas of socially acceptable behavior which are immoral God-mocking, and contrary to the God-honoring lifestyle Jesus has called you to as you follow him in your living. As you finish reading Ezra chapter 10, you'll see they took a bold, strong, difficult action. That's true repentance, for repentance means change. Reject the bad and embrace the holy. Now, I'm not advocating that you leave your spouse if you have married a non-Christian, nor that you throw your kids out of your house if they don't believe and follow Jesus as you are. But I am calling us to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, all of us, in looking closely at our lives, our beliefs, our positions on social issues, to be sure we are in lockstep, in full agreement with Holy God and His call on us to be a holy people of God. In closing, I urge you to consider carefully 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 12. Maybe even memorize it. Now here's a song to help you reflect on these serious matters. What anchor of truth and God-honoring identity are you holding to as your anchor in these days of moral, social confusion? As you watch the video that goes with this song, look into the faces of the young people. Who are the adults they can look to as men and women modeling well for them how to live God-honoring lives in our times?